Okay, here's my next attempt to manipulate this. I don't have any relationships to disclose. Iris Zachary is my co-author. Again, I'd like to acknowledge Elena Head for her contributions. And you've heard from all of us the same funding source. Changes in medical practice and healthcare delivery have increased the incidence of cancers being diagnosed and treated outside a hospital setting, which you've also heard. But we all have statutes mandating cancer reporting, but despite this, many rural clinics and many physician offices underreport or do not report their cancer cases. This is, again, it's a matter of resources. We know they're we have most complete reporting of the non-hospital cases on melanoma skin cancer. And we were very fortunate to have, as president of the State Dermatological Association, a colleague of mine in the School of Medicine who is head of the dermatology department but has an appointment also in the same department I do. And as president of the association, she gave her blessing to the dermatologist reporting to us, and we had a pilot project, a demonstration project from CDC to bring in urologists, and my pun, which I won't say since this is being recorded, but we weren't able to crack that, but we then switched to dermatologists, and so we have had an increasing number of melanoma skin cancer cases reported, some using part of the Registered Plus suite of products, Web Plus, goodbye Iris, have a safe trip, and some reporting on paper. While we don't like getting paper, we'd rather have paper than no case, and so we are very excited about that, and we were able to show that when the expanded reporting statute went into effect in Missouri that required non-hospital reporting, the cases went up significantly. And when we brought the dermatologists on board, we had another significant increase. So we know how important getting these physician office cases is. As I've already mentioned, we were one of two states funded to bring EHR data directly into the Central Cancer Registry. And that's what got us into looking at stage three, because we were now dealing with stage two. And we wanted to know how meaningful use stage three will impact cancer reporting criteria that were developed in stage two, and the factors that may impact whether a clinic physician office continues with meaningful use past stage two, and the impact on the central registries of the need for additional data storage and processing. So we started out by participating in a variety of national work groups focused on public health surveillance in meaningful use stage three. And we also have been working with certified meaningful use stage two EMR vendors to analyze and assess any changes to cancer reporting because of stage three requirements. For those of you who might not be familiar with meaningful use, the purpose of which to improve quality of patient care, to get reimbursed, you must have a certified EHR. You must be able to participate in the electronic exchange of health information via your EHR, and it is to obtain clinical quality measures via this route. Stage one, the data capture and sharing phase went from 2011 to 2013. That's where the primary portion of it. So it had structured data, security protocols, it contained e-prescribing, and quality reporting. Stage two, advanced clinical processes, information exchange and care coordination, 2014 and 2015. Data exchange, patient have access to tools to look at their own care and track clinical outcomes. And then stage three, the primary purpose is improved outcomes, and it is currently still, I think, slated to be implemented in 2016, 2017, but it may be pushed back further. And the focus on improved care and reduced cost and medical error reduction. The final rule for stage two, EP, eligible provider only, menu objective, capability to identify and report cancer cases to a public health central cancer registry, except where prohibited and in accordance with applicable law and practice. And then eligible provider only, menu measure, successful ongoing of submission of cancer case information to a public health central cancer registry for the entire EHR reporting period. So we don't have a final rule for stage three yet, but the recommendations are for an eligible hospital or eligible provider, the objective, the capacity to electronically participate and send standardized reports to a mandated registry, e.g. cancer, from a certified EHR. My computer insists on auto-correcting, and I apologize for not correcting that. Certification criteria. The EHR is able to build and then send a standardized report, e.g. in the standardized message format, to an external mandated registry, maintain an audit of these reports, and track the total number of reports sent. So, as the final MU stage three rules will not be completed until 2015, again, that may even be pushed back. But currently, the 2015 edition EHR certification criteria are intended to improve upon any problems that were identified and that need to be addressed from the 2014 edition. And this is in response to stakeholder feedback, and it references updated standards and implementation guides moving toward more interoperability. One of the challenges we have faced in stage two of meaningful use is we were very restrictive in cancer reporting and requiring a CDA format. We could have used a different format that was more common. In retrospect, I'm not convinced that using the CDA format has worked well because many vendors, EHR vendors, first, cancer reporting, maybe a small percent of the cases that a physician office would see. So the physician office may have some reluctance to pay the additional cost for obtaining that module. And more importantly, they may not get the option to choose to pay that because a number of vendors have opted not to provide a cancer reporting module. And if they don't develop and provide a cancer reporting module, the physician cannot use the software they have purchased for their meaningful use to provide cancer reporting data. Now, there are software vendors, and we worked with one of those. The vendor that we worked with the urologist who was reporting, who can develop at low cost and provide at low cost a module for cancer reporting that sets on top of the other software. But this is another step that the facility or the physician has to go through, and sometimes they just don't think it's worth it. And the other reason that we're encountering some difficulties is that in stage two, cancer reporting is specific. It is one of the measures. In the plan for stage three, public health surveillance is going to be required, but it may not separate the cancer registry out as a separate entity. And I worked on the Sprint Toward Stage 3 work group, and what they hope to do is have a core set of data elements that all public health surveillance, syndromic surveillance, the infectious diseases, everything, will have the same set of core, because we all need demographics, We all need place of residence. It's only the disease-specific elements that are absolutely specific. Now, some of us may want more detail on demographics or more detail on place of residence, but place of residence is place of residence. It's you may want a greater detail on the demographics, basically. So instead of having cancer reporting being this separate entity, you would have the core for cancer, and then we would have specific tumor and treatment, and HIV/AIDS would have the core, same core, and then more specific, and so on. So the incentive to develop a cancer reporting module, therefore, is lessened. If a vendor hasn't done it by now, it's unlikely that a vendor is going to do it. So, but stage three does offer opportunities because increased resources, data to improve health research and outcomes, the increase of availability of data and information, access to data and information, and better monitoring because of improved data. Because if we get more of the demographics that we don't collect, the socio-demographic elements that we don't currently collect, and if we can get comorbidities, which we should get through stage two anyway, but if we could increase that in stage three, that would improve our data, and we could get potentially funding to look at outcomes more. There are also challenges. If we have more users and more data, we need more resources to store the data and to edit the data. When we have, we have to map the data when it comes in. We have to implement it, and the functionality is questionable. The additional cost and burden of obtaining additional data to ensure that the high quality and to ensure its security are not insignificant, because we pay storage charges, we have to pay staff, you know, to do manual review. You can't do everything electronically. But I regard it more as an opportunity, and that these are challenges we can overcome. I've already gotten ahead of myself here, talking about the changes in stage three, but these could enhance cancer data to the point where social and behavioral factors may be used to determine cancer risk assessments. And this is in line with the individualized medicine that we foresee coming in the future. We currently are supposed to collect tobacco use, alcohol use, as well as occupation and industry, but we collect it if the information is available. And hopefully in stage three, it would be required. We do a pretty good job in Missouri of tobacco. We have not only the standard tobacco history, have you ever used, do you use it, but years of tobacco use. And we do get alcohol, but in occupation and industry, too often we see retired. Well, what are you retired from? It is the occupation in which you worked that is important, and our data in that area are not of sufficient quality for us to do anything looking at occupation. I've talked a little bit about the impact of meaningful use on EHR reporting and some of the effects. What steps will we need to take during the delay of stage three to be ready for it? Well, first, we've got to figure out all of stage two, and are we really going to be getting much data? I am increasingly becoming coming to the opinion that we're not going to get as much in stage two as we thought we were going to get and as we hoped we were going to get, and that we might be better off focusing on stage three and making sure that we get the comorbidities and make it easier for the adoption of getting EHRs into the central registry. So So thank you very much. We have several minutes now. Are there any questions for any of us about anything you've heard today or anything you hope to hear and didn't hear? Yes. Was your question the physician office? Okay, if they refer, well, the challenge we face with path labs, Julie and one of the person who had the position left, and we're in the process of hiring a new software support analyst. So when we get that position filled, we will be able to implement the program that Julie developed. One of the challenges with path labs is we get data from electronic path labs, national path labs, and we are getting data from one regional path lab until we find out, but there are still a few national labs that haven't come on board, and the national labs come to all NPCR registries that have the capacity and want to get the data. It sometimes takes us several months. It takes CDC working with a path lab. It takes the states working with the path lab to onboard the path lab. We don't know until we find a lab, if it's not a national path lab or a local path lab, if it's a path lab, say, that's in Nebraska instead of Missouri, but a Missouri physician sends it to that path lab. Until we find a physician that uses that path lab, we don't know that there is a lab out there that we should be trying to get data from. One of the big problems with path lab data is frequently we have so limited information, we don't even know if the patient the report is on a Missouri patient. So one of the things we do with the dermatology, the melanoma skin cancer, if we get a PATH report, then we know who the dermatologists are and we can follow back to the physician office if the physician isn't reporting. We don't know who all of the other physicians are. We don't have we can get a list of physicians by specialty, but we haven't set up yet the mechanism of getting them to report data directly to us if they don't report through an EHR. Now, I'm not sure that I answered your question because I'm not sure that I understood what your question was. In Missouri, and this differs from state to state, in Missouri, physicians are only required to report if the case isn't being immediately referred to another physician or facility. So if a breast cancer case is biopsied by a path lab from an order from a physician in a clinic, if the biopsy comes back positive and the surgery is going to be reported, the patient is going to be referred to a larger clinic or a hospital that already reports to us, the physician is not required to report it. Now, some states have laws differ that all cases have to be reported, but in Missouri, physicians don't have. So if they know they are referring it, then it's the facilities, the referral facility, that is required to report it. Did you have a question? I saw your hand up.
I was just trying to get a feeling for how many EHRs on your pilot work have you been really dealing with? Is it a handful?
We deliberately selected six different vendors. We selected facilities that were in the area that we knew we were potentially missing cases, and then within that we selected different EHR vendors. And two of the vendors decided not to develop a cancer reporting module. So we've spent a lot of time. The having the Mohit Assistance Center PI as a colleague in the same department, we were able to get a list of the, I wouldn't say preferred vendors, but vendors that were that had met, that were certified EHR vendors. So we knew who the vendors were, and then we looked for places that were adopting that a different vendor. Some of the facilities thought they were going to go with one vendor, and then they changed their mind. It's been a rather interesting process. And two of the vendors we worked with were the second and third vendors in the nation to be certified for meaningful use, stage two. And we even encountered challenges with that. They got their certification early, but only one of them implemented it early. Yes, do you have another question? It's not necessarily directly related to cancer, but it is more complete information on some of the risk factors, the behaviors that might have an that are not required data elements to be reported on cancer, but might have a genetic component. Or, for example, in our current EHR, in our current required data elements, we don't even have height and weight, so we can't measure BMI. In stage two and in stage three, we will get the height and weight, and we will get information about screening. We don't have information on screening. We don't have information about why a treatment might change. We might know what the treatment modalities is or are, but we don't know why the change is made. Now, you know, we could contact individual physicians on individual patients and get that, but on a large scale, we can't do that. So those are some of the treatment information that we currently have. As can't remember, Chester or Julie said, we have summary information. We don't have the very detailed. CDC funded 10 states to collect detailed treatment information, particularly chemo information, in the comparative effectiveness research projects. They had three special projects. We were funded for improving data on race and ethnicity and bringing data directly from the EHR. And then there was one special project on more interactive with patients. And then the core, there were 10 states funded to collect all of the chemo information through first course of treatment. And that was a tremendous undertaking. We applied for it, and my staff breathed a sigh of relief when we weren't funded. Anyone else have any questions? Well, I thank you for your attention. Toward the end of the last day, I'm pleased we got the size of the audience that we did, and I want to thank you for sticking with us to the end. And if you have any questions for any of us, please feel free to come up and ask us. And so thank you, and have a safe travel home.